Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm Amory Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grassfed Salsa, and with me is my co-host Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. Here we share everything about overcoming health challenges from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get on with the show.
What is up, you guys? It is Michelle here with another episode of the podcast. We have an awesome interview for you guys this week, all about mindset. But before we slide into the interview, I wanted to mention just up here at the top of the episode that reviews are so valuable to us, so important to just helping this podcast grow and keep it going. Your support is what enables us to keep providing this podcast. So we would just be so grateful if you guys took, you know, just 30 seconds, 1 minute, 90 seconds, however long it takes for you to just write a short little nice thing. The leaving the star reviews are great as well. We totally appreciate those, but actually writing something is just so valuable to helping other people find the podcast. And again, just keeping this podcast going. So if you could just go into iTunes, just scribble a little something in there. It does not have to be like a manifesto. I don't know what you think about the podcast. Just one little sentence here or there. We appreciate that so much. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on the computer. So if you're sitting on the phone right now, and if you are not driving, if you are in a safe place, you can just swipe it up into the podcast app and just leave a review into the podcast right there. After you search our podcast, it will bring you to the spot where you can actually write a review. And again, we'd just be so grateful. So let's slide into this week's episode with Amanda. So Amanda is the heart and soul behind Up Level True Nutrition, and she's on a mission to change the way the world views nutrition, improve the way we treat our bodies, and help others become the best versions of themselves using whole real foods and positive lifestyle changes. In her meal plan membership community, she's helping other members transform their lives by teaching them about how to quote unquote eat clean consistently, how to create healthy foods that their whole family will love, and how to form enjoyable, positive lifestyle habits that will last. Amanda's a mom of two and a wife to one pretty freaking awesome guy, so she says. She also is a certified nutritional therapy consultant, a certified personal trainer, and quite possibly certifiably bonkers because she's also becoming a certified fitness and nutrition specialist. So she's got a lot on her plate. When she's not playing with her kids, working or developing recipes, studying all the nutrition things, she loves to walk outside while listening to a good podcast or curl up on the couch with her dog and a warm cup of mushroom hot chocolate and watch reruns of Fixer Upper. That sounds like a lovely night. And this is an awesome podcast. We dive really deep into mindset. We talk about mindset with autoimmunity. It's just a really great one. So let's dive into the episode with Amanda. All right, Amanda, thanks for being with us here today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm honored and so excited to be here with you guys.
We're excited to have you. We're excited to talk about this stuff because it's important. But before we slide into today's topic, what are you loving right now?
Yeah, so there's so many things to be loving right now, but what I'm really loving is this beautiful sunshine and the time that I've got to have with my kids recently at our pool. pool. So we've been getting outdoors a lot lately. And most recently, my daughter came up to me one afternoon after we got home from school. And when she was like, "Mommy, will you get off your phone? Can you get off your computer so we can come play?" And I literally started crying. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm one of those parents right now that's like always on her phone or always on her computer." And I was like, "You know what? That's it. I'm putting everything away. We're going to just go to the pool and just have a great time." And we did it that afternoon. And it was the best time we had had together. My two-year-old was there too, but it was so much fun. And it was kind of in that moment that I realized, like, you know what, when we get home after school, after work for the day, like, we are just going to be so present with each other. Everything else is going away. So lately I've just been loving doing that with them. And it's been just a real game changer. It's amazing what we can learn from our little kiddos when we just really tune into what it is they're needing. So loving that.
Yes. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we, my husband and I were just talking about that, actually, that exact topic, about how our six-month-old, it's like somehow she can sense our, like, even when she's like, she'll be nursing and I'll be on my phone or something. And then she like looks up at me like, "Are you looking at me? Are you watching me?"
Yeah.
And then when I put it away, then she doesn't do that anymore. So it's literally like she can sense when I'm paying attention to her.
Yeah, it's crazy. So crazy. And it's so important, you know, and in today's day and age, it's just so easy to be on a device and be doing something, responding to emails or looking at social media, whatever it is. But man, I needed that reminder from her that, hey, Mom, right now it's us time. We all need to be together. And that was just such a big, loud reminder to just, remember, we got to put that stuff away and just be really present in the moments with the people that we love. And that hit home for me big time.
Even when the stuff is down, sometimes it can still be such a struggle to be totally present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm always constantly working. So even when like I'm not touching, for me, it's like I'm cooking. If it's not the laptop or the phone, it's like the stove and the camera. It's like I always find some way to just not be present.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing for me, it's funny, this is actually what I was going to say, was like the thing that I was loving last week, because I did a digital detox for the weekend. And really, I just have to force myself to get out of my house and like get away from my comfort zone if I'm actually going to be present with my husband and even just be present with myself. I need to physically get out of the house. That's why I can never do home workouts, because then I'm just like all over. That's a different topic.
Oh yeah. No, I'm the same way with home workouts, but
yeah, I'm like the cat's at my feet. I can't do squats.
Yeah. It's like, but even what you're saying with just getting out and getting away from everything, really, because it seems like we always just have so much noise going on, whether it's like visual noise or auditory noise. It's like, even when we walk, we're listening to a podcast or like an audiobook. It's like, we're always trying to take in information. Like, why can't we just be silent and present and like think? It's crazy. You know, maybe this is why people meditate. Maybe that's the light bulb moment I'm getting from this, is that I need to meditate.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Not a bad thing. So you reached out to us to talk about how, you know, just like mindset struggles are a huge thing that you focus on as an NTP. And I'm sure that you've heard us say kind of like a broken record where it's like, okay, like you got the diet in there, you got this, you got that. Like, oh, well, you need to back up and look at the mindset. I think that we've both said all the time that that's one of the main things that really just changed our health journeys and allowed us to really commit. So we're excited to talk to you about some of how, and I know that I've struggled with that as an NTP, like helping coach my clients through those mindset changes. So we're excited to hear about that from you. But before we get into that, we would love to back up and just kind of hear your health story, how you got into being an NTP, all of that.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, I'll correct you. I'm an NTC. So, not doing the touchy-feelies, but we're all doing
it. I don't either. So, I don't do that. So, most of us are
definitely.
It's all the same information.
Yeah, it is for sure. But yeah, so, you know, where my health journey started, it really began when I was a young child. When I was really young, I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome. And for anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's actually like a neurological disorder that's characterized by like repetitive, stereotyped, involuntary movements, and they can be vocal or motor tics. And that was something that was always really hard for me when I was growing up. It was super embarrassing because it's involuntary. And all through my younger years, you know, we were always told that it was something that I would never grow out of. I would just kind of have to manage it, whether it was with medications or biofeedback, but it was just always, it would always be something that I just dealt with. It was part of who I was. So that was always kind of going on behind the scenes. It was always a big struggle for me. I was always trying to hide it because it was something that was embarrassing. But kind of got past that and worked through it a little bit. And then flash forward to 2006, things were going really good in my life. It was actually after my freshman year of college. And I got really sick with this crazy rare disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a kind of a rare autoimmune disease that attacks your peripheral nervous system. And I wasn't sure if I was going to live or die in that moment. I was in the hospital for quite a while, and I was paralyzed from the waist down. And long story short, I ended up surviving. I'm here today, thank goodness. And but the doctors had told me at that point in time that had I not been in the physical shape that I was, because I was, you know, eating what I thought was a good diet and working out and keeping myself healthy, that my outcome could have been very, very different. So after that experience and after healing through that process, I kind of became like obsessed with health and obsessed with what I ate and working out constantly. And that just really started to define who I was. You know, I had overcome death and I wanted to be stronger and I wanted to be better. And I was never going to let anything like that happen to me again, even though it was kind of outside of my control. So, you know, things were good after I healed, got married, had two beautiful little babies. And then in mid-2016, my health tanked again and I started having thyroid issues. I started feeling really depressed. The brain fog kind of came on. I think a lot of new moms kind of know what all of these things feel like in one form or another. And I started really questioning, like, what am I doing wrong? I've been, you know, so quote unquote healthy for such a long period of time. Why could all of this be happening? And that's when I really started to change my perspective on what it means to be healthy. I found paleo, and that's kind of where I started out with the paleo template. I cleaned up my diet and got all of the refined and processed things out. I started really taking a look at the way I was exercising, and I was training way too much, way too hard. So I dialed that back in, and I started noticing some huge improvements in my health. And along with that, I mentioned the Tourette syndrome earlier. My Tourette syndrome symptoms started going away slowly but surely after I cleaned up my diet. And that was just mind-boggling to me, because not only was my health improving, the thyroid issues went away, the depression started going away, I had more energy again, I felt amazing. But those awful, horrible, embarrassing symptoms that I had dealt with my whole life began to go away, and then were gone altogether after about a couple months of getting the foods out of my body that clearly weren't working for me. And that just really was so powerful that I just thought, I have to do something with this. Health and wellness were always things that I was very interested in and loved learning more about. But then when I realized, like, this isn't just about, you know, going to the gym and lifting weights every single week and being as lean as I can possibly be, like, this is so much more, and I've got to get the word out. And that's when I really just shifted my perspective on things and got involved with the NTA community and became an NTC. I became a certified personal trainer at that point in time as well. But I realized that good health wasn't just about being in the gym all the time. It was really more about the nutrition piece and how we treat our bodies. So that's kind of a long, short version of my story and kind of how I got to where I am today.
That's amazing. That who really jumped out when I read your bio about the GBS is I worked at, my last full-time job before I jumped into Unbound Wellness more was at a ministry, and we had somebody there who, he was an older gentleman, but he was just, his heart was on fire for what he did, and he just traveled all over the place. Like, this was a guy that one week he was in Africa, and then he was in the Middle East, and then he was in, like, Helsinki. Like, he was all over the place, and, like, he was just so healthy, seemingly healthy, and then he got GBS, and everybody was so, like, I'll never forget what it was like seeing somebody like that just go down. He was the same thing, that he was paralyzed. Like, he was physically just lying in a hospital bed, and just like the things that he saw and how challenging it was for him. I'll never forget that. And it was just insane when we didn't hear from him. Like, this was somebody that we saw all the time, and we didn't hear from him for months. And we finally did one day. He came on, we had like this corporate call where he came on, and he just kind of shared, you know, what it was like for him getting through that. Like, he talked a lot about, you know, how, you know, God helped him through it and how he mentally got through it and what it was like to get through that just like hell of like all of a sudden being like a happy person, like running around the world, to just being in a hospital bed out of nowhere. And he, you know, he was walking again. And, you know, there's so much mentally to that, to where I feel like when I first got diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, a part of me was just like, well, I just want to like give up on trying to be healthy, because why bother? You know, of, well, my body's already attacking itself, so like, why would I try to be nice to my body if it's being so mean to me? And so many of us with autoimmune disease, I'm sure, can relate to that. How did you mentally get through that diagnosis and that time in your life? What was that like?
It was really, really hard in the thick of it. I mean, I remember when I finally got to a hospital that diagnosed me properly, because actually a few days leading up to being actually diagnosed, I had been to other emergency rooms because of all these symptoms that were happening. I couldn't feel my toes. My fingers were going
up. It just like
hits you. It was crazy. And, you know, here I am, this like, you know, after my freshman year of college, like I'm feeling good. Everything's great. I was actually out in California visiting my family. I was on a summertime trip when this happened. And ended up in the ER there. And I remember when the doctor came in the room and said, you know, we think we know what's going on with you. We need to do a spinal tap to confirm it, but we think you have Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I remember myself and my grandfather, he was in the room with me at the time, we went, go what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what is that?
We had never heard of it before. So he literally wrote it on the whiteboard in the room with a marker. And I was just staring at it going, what does this mean? I was terrified. And he finally, you know, kind of got through the process of, you know, what this is, what it means. And I'll never forget the last thing that he said to me that I can remember was, you're going to be okay, but this is going to get worse before it gets better. And I just remember bawling. Yeah. And then I don't remember anything after that. Some people came in the room, and then I was out. And then I woke up about 10 hours later, and I had tubes coming out of my neck, out of my arms. And I don't know if I mentally shut down during that period of time or if they put me to sleep. I actually still don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I kind of woke up and realized what was going on, you know, I cried, and it was really hard for a couple days. But I had to give it to God, because there was nothing that I could do. I was not in control of that situation. And I'm glad that I was able to realize that at the time, because it could have been probably a lot worse for me, at least my experience there, railing against everything that was going on. But I didn't rail against it. I just went with it, and I was faithful, and I tried to be as strong as I could, but I also cried when I needed to. And I reached out to family, and I really let them help me, as hard as that was. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't get out of bed to do anything. I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own. So to have all of those things that you do every single day and don't think about taken from you, it really does, you know, change your life in a big way. And as hard as that experience was for me, I mean, you asked, you know, how did I get through it? My family my faith. I luckily had an extraordinary team of doctors. I was very, very lucky with where we are. They knew what they were dealing with and they knew how to treat it. So that's what helped me get through it. But I don't think I would be where I am today or who I am today without going through that experience. So yeah. As hard as it was, I'm almost kind of, you know, I'm grateful, which sounds weird.
No, I'm grateful
that I had that experience because I'm a very changed person and I see the world, you know, totally differently today. When I look outside and see the trees and see the birds and see blue sky, like I know I see it differently than other people because I know that I could not be seeing those things right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I have a blog post on my blog that's like why I'm grateful that I have Hashimoto's. And yeah, I got some pushback when I wrote that because I said a lot of, obviously it's nothing like GPS at all, but it's, you know, going through something and it's like, well, in the end, I'm grateful that I went through this experience because it's taught me so much. It's helped me to completely like just see a totally new purpose in life. And mm-hmm. I got some pushback when I wrote that of like, no, but it's a bad, like you're not supposed to be grateful for it. You're not supposed to say that like God like lets bad things happen. It's like, okay, like what do I do then? Do I look back and say like, oh my gosh, I hate this. Like that's not going to get me anywhere. Like it happened. It's happened. It's happening. All I can do is just turn back and say, okay, like I'm grateful that it happened and I'm going to move forward and I'm going to see what I can learn from it rather than just be like, no, it's terrible. And that in the beginning, like I said, it took me years to get to that point where it's like, no, I'm grateful that this happened, but the only way out is through. And everybody here on this call right now, and most of the people listening have all had, you know, these autoimmune diseases that are not fair and it's mm-hmm. not cool, but you know, we have the choice to be like, either we can move through it and find beauty beyond it or let it pull us back. And that's what we're talking about, finding beauty.
Okay. Well, so for me, my autoimmunity hasn't ever been to the point, I never felt like the same type of, like struggles that I guess both of you have felt. I was never hospitalized. I never felt like I was losing my life. I was continuing my life having this autoimmune disease I didn't even know about. And it really on a day-to-day basis was not significantly impacting me. So I've never gotten to that point, that same like down point that you guys have. So I'm curious, and for anybody else who's struggling and they're at that really low point and they don't know how to pull themselves out of it and find that like gratitude for what's happening, or at least find acceptance. Amanda, do you have any like suggestions on ways that they can get there?
Well, you know, it's hard to do it alone. And this isn't like, you can't willpower your way, you know, through this stuff. So, you know, for me, it's always been important to have very supportive people and loving people in my life to kind of help me get through those things. But, you know, at the same time, being willing and open and honest with myself, you know, when I'm maybe looking at things through a narrow lens, like we need to open up the lens through which we, you know, view our situations and the things that are coming at us and just the stuff that we're dealing with, and know, you know, when we need to kind of shift or pivot the way we're thinking about things. If we can think about things in a positive light, or, you know, even if it's just something terrible that's happening to us at the moment, you know, if we could just think like, okay, what is the universe telling me right now? Maybe I need to slow down and just think about this. What is my body telling me? What does it need from me right now? Versus, like I said earlier, you know, railing against it and thinking, you know, well, this is just it. So what's the point? This is going to define me. Life's just going to be awful from here on out. Like, that should never be the option. Like, our lives are so beautiful and wonderful, and each of us has this amazing purpose. And I think when people lose sight of, you know, I have a purpose in this world to do better, then that's when they can just really fall into that deep, dark hole. So, you know, remembering what your purpose is and getting there, listening to your body and trying to slow down and think about what is it that it's telling me right now? What does it need from me? And surrounding yourself with supportive, loving people. And if, you know, if you're a person of faith, you know, obviously that is going to be a huge piece as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I would also, we've been talking a lot about autoimmune disease stuff, and it's a great way to start our conversation because so many of us deal with it. But there's the overarching, like, how do I become okay with this? But then there's the little things of like, how do I have enough time for it? Like, how do I be okay with not eating pizza? Those are the things that really held me back for a long time of like, well, I just don't have the time, or like, I just can't do it well enough. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to talk about some of that. So something that you said that you feel like a lot of people that you work with one-on-one just feel like they can't, like all of us have felt this way, where like, we just feel like we just can't really have the time to deal with all this stuff of like, okay, like I'm supposed to make all this food. I'm supposed to do all these, I'm supposed to like do all this stuff, and I don't have the time for it. What do you say to those people that are struggling with little things like that?
Yeah.
This like time.
Time is huge because we can't make more of it. It is outside of, you know, that piece is outside of our control. We can only do, you know, as many things as we can possibly do within reason in the same amount of time that we all have. So in my membership community, a lot of the members, especially members with children, feel like they don't have enough time to cook healthy meals for themselves or for their families, or they don't have enough time to get exercise in the day because of all the obligations that they have, or they don't have enough time to sleep. You know, like literally I've had people say like, I can't find time to get good sleep in. And that should be a priority. I mean, that should be like one of the number one things that we do every single day, or to meditate or self-reflect or have time for ourselves. But we all have the same 168 hours every single week. You know, about 56 of those hours should be dedicated to sleep. Mm-hmm. So now we have about 112 hours every
single
day.
Doesn't that suck?
Yeah. Like
I mean, I want to sleep, I know, but it's like, when you really step back, it's like, I'd like to also have a little more hours in the week, but
if we could only just like poof, make some more, that would be sweet. But once, you know, once we make time for that sleep, now we've got like 112 hours left of our time. And then some of us work full time during the week, so let's call that, you know, 40 hours, whatever. Now we've got 72 hours left in our week. You know, that's the time where we really need to be intentional with how we use those hours. You know, for some of us, if we're working during the week, you know, when we're getting ready in the morning and going out the door, maybe that's another 7 to 8 hours, you know, over the course of a week. So now we're down to 64 hours to do those other things to keep us healthy. So how are we supposed to spend them? You know, we really do need to be intentional. We need to take a look at our days. And this is really what I tell people, you know, to ask yourself the question, how can you set yourself up for success by preparing ahead of time? Because most successful people are always people that are prepared, or at least have a conscious idea of what they want to do in a given period of time so that they can reach their goals. You know, one of the biggest things when it comes to eating well, and that's a lot of what I do in my membership community. It's a meal plan membership community, but it's also a supportive community to do other things, lifestyle and wellness related. But meal prepping, that is so huge. There should be no excuse to go out and consume junky food from fast food restaurants day in, day out, because we don't have time to prepare our own foods. Whole real foods, many of them don't even have to be prepared. Fresh fruit, you can just grab off of the, you know, the shelf at the grocery store, and whether you have to wash it or not, you can probably easily consume it. You know, nuts and seeds, those are things that can be easily consumed. And there's so many other wonderful products out there nowadays that aren't so processed and aren't filled with a bunch of refined products that are very easy to grab and go with. But at the same time, you know, is our life really that crazy? Is it really that busy that we can't dedicate 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes max to prepare a nourishing meal for our bodies? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what's our goal? If your goal is to be healthier because you want to feel better, whatever that looks like, you've got to put in some work. And maybe you do need to turn the TV off. Maybe you do need to get off social media, or, you know, maybe there are just some things in your life that you could do without so that you could focus on doing the things that are going to get you to where you want to be from a health perspective. You know, like I mentioned, meal prepping, if working out is something that you want to do, I always tell people, get your gym bag ready the night before, whether you're going to a physical gym or not. You know, if you're working in an office during the day, take your lunch hour and go for a walk, get outside. That is exercise. And that is so good for you. And then eat at your desk. You don't need to go sit in a break room and stare at your phone on social media for 45 minutes. Do something positive with that time that you have. You know, schedule on your calendar a time to take a walk during the day, and don't break that meeting with yourself. You've got all sorts of other meetings scheduled during the day. Make sure that you schedule some for yourself. And, you know, there's an app called Calm. I don't know if you guys have, you guys have probably heard of it.
Not yet. I haven't used it yet. It's like a $60 a year subscription. And every time I'm like,
there's, well, like, there's a free version. Yeah, I use the free version. I haven't paid for it yet. But their free version is pretty awesome. And it's a nice way to be able to go on a walk. And instead of, you know, listening to a podcast, like you mentioned earlier, like we're always consuming information. But to listen to something like that that allows us to be just with ourselves is really awesome. So I always recommend that to people as well. So you can just be with yourself. But there's so many things that we can do to care for ourselves and for our bodies. We just have to do them in a way that brings us joy, so that they, you know, become a part of our routine. And a really good way to take a look at your 168 hours that you get during a week, and this might sound a little tedious, but you can literally, on a piece of construction paper, if you've got kids, I know you've got construction paper laying around, you can draw 168 boxes and literally take 45 minutes and start filling in those boxes with what it is you do during the week. You know, block off your time for sleep, block off the time that you're at work, block off the time that you're getting ready, or, you know, whatever it is, other things that you do week in, week out, and look at all of the little blocks that you've got left. I'm certain that you've got 30 minutes, an hour here and there that you never thought you had before, to start filling those in with some things that will make you a better, healthier, happier person, whether it's, you know, making a homemade meal or getting in some exercise or finding just some time to self-reflect or read a book or whatever it is. So I think when people go through that exercise and start filling in those squares, they realize that they actually do have a ton of time left over at the end of the week that they never thought they had before, because we're so mindlessly kind of doing other things.
I love that. That's amazing. I used to be, I feel like when I first started getting into this world, I was really into meal prep, and it's like I had my meal prep on point every single week. But as things get busier, and I just cook constantly. So sometimes I'm not doing the meal prep as much as I should be to really set myself up for success. And then, man, when I get to Tuesday night, you know, and it's 7 and I'm like, and now I have to spend an hour like getting the chicken isn't defrosted, and then I got to do this and I got to do that. Like, it takes me, you know, it could take up to like 5 hours a week, like just to cook dinner. If you're taking like an hour to do it every night versus just taking like 2-3 hours on a Sunday max and just like making a couple sheet pan meals, throwing a couple things in the Instant Pot, and then you just got all this stuff in the fridge or in the freezer. And that is like, then I have time like on Tuesday night to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. I have time to just like turn on the office and hang out with my husband. But when I don't plan ahead of time, like, it just makes my life so much more stressful. And it's hard to get into the habit of like, okay, like this is what I just need to do. But I mean, I've fallen out of the habit sometimes, especially since my stupid oven is broken. Sometimes you fall out of the habits, and then you really see, though, it's like, oh my gosh, my life was so much easier when I was doing this good thing. So there's a point, I feel like with the mindset stuff, people always just, it's like, oh, but it's hard to start something new. Like, it's hard to start anything new. Like, it's hard for, like, if you have like a first grader, it's hard for them to go to their first day of school. If you're choosing a new, if you're getting a new job, it's hard to get go to that first day of a new job. you're, you know, in a new relationship, it's hard to do that. Like, there's so many hard things to do. Like, there's no getting over just like ripping off the Band-Aid. But once you get into that habit of like meal prepping or something like that, you'll actually see the benefit, and yeah, it'll give you time back.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, also, I always tell my members and people that always ask me, you know, how do you do all of that and have kids and go to work and, you know, still eat clean all the time? And, you know, I always tell them, I don't do it all perfectly. And that'll get into like one of our other mindset issues that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. I don't do it perfectly all the time. I do what feels right, and I listen to my body. And that's something that a lot of people are very disengaged with, is actually listening to their body and what it needs, because, you know, we've just been, you know, we haven't been trained to think that way. We're so busy and on the go and so distracted that we forget, like, hello, like, this is our vehicle. This is all we have. We have got to keep this machine running properly, this powerful vehicle that is our body. But, you know, everybody's circumstances are different. And I guarantee that every single person can make it work, you know, can figure out little slots of time during their week if they can just shift some things around, maybe, you know, get a new order for things so that they can start creating healthier habits, you know, in their lifestyle. Like, you know, if you're a mom and you've got little ones at home, like, certainly, you know, you mentioned earlier that you're not a big fan of the in-home exercise programs, but, you know, for a mom with little ones that can't get to the gym, for sure, you know, like, yeah. I'm not really either. I like to be out somewhere just because I don't feel like I'm as engaged when I'm in my home environment, because I'm like, oh, I've got to go do that pile of laundry sitting over there. Like, yeah, it's just a little harder for me to like engage in that way when I'm home and there's distractions. But you know, if you're a mom at home with kids, like, surely you can find an at-home exercise program that you could do. Just because you're home with your kiddos doesn't mean that you have to just sit there all day on the couch or just, you know, watching them every single second while their little minds are growing and learning and they're playing. Like, there's things that you can be doing. You can do it while they nap or while they're playing. I know there are some days when I come home from work, and if I didn't get my exercise done for my lunch break, because that's literally the only time I have to do it, I'll take my kids down in our basement, and while they're playing, I'll do my exercises down there. And it's actually pretty cool because my daughter will even like jump in and she'll start, you know, copying me and doing push-ups, and she'll start doing burpees, and it's hysterical. But then, you know, the other part of me is like, you know, awesome, I want to be a good, strong, positive role model, you know, for my daughter and for my son. And, you know, if they can be engaged with me doing that too, that's maybe a fun activity, even though they're not doing it to the extent I am. They kind of think it's funny that mom's jumping around like a monkey in the basement, you know, but I'm still getting my movement in. So we can all find the time.
Yeah, I think one thing that kind of resonated with me with what you were saying is going back to like hearing all this noise and what you should be doing from all these other sources on social media, especially with, I feel like, stories, probably Instagram in general has just made this such an issue, but just seeing over time, like, everybody is using mushrooms now. So everybody's adding mushrooms to their coffee. And if I don't add mushrooms, then I'm not going to be healthy, because that's what everybody that's healthy is doing. Or everybody's doing yoga, and so I have to do this. But you're getting all these things that you feel like you should be doing and then not taking action because you feel overwhelmed with all of them.
Yeah.
And so like meal plan kind of falls into that. It's like, I know I should be doing this. I'm seeing it all over, but you're inundated with all these things that you should be doing, that it's like hard to ever really start doing anything, especially when we're just spending all of our time consuming that information and not putting forth like an action plan to implementing them. So if you were, and I'm not exactly sure how your membership program works, maybe you can talk about that a little bit more, but like, what would you encourage your members to do that's like the biggest bang for their buck? Like, if they were just, they're really tight on time because they're a working parent and they're just wanting to do whatever they can to like make the biggest changes with the least amount of time or be the most efficient with their time. Would you put like a plan in place for them, or would you encourage that they kind of go with their intuition on what would make the most sense, or kind of how do you approach that?
Yeah, that's an That's an awesome question. It's a hard question because it really is bio-individual, you know, like it's going to be different for each person. And I try and meet each member where they're at, because some people are like ready to go and make huge changes and make big progress up front. They're super motivated. But then other people, like, that scares the hell out of them. They need to do it a little bit more slowly. So I work with both types of people and try and kind of meet them where they are so that we can set them up for success. So within my membership community, basically what it is, it's a meal plan membership community. Every single week I give a meal plan to all the members. It's not individualized. It's a meal plan that I create and deliver to everybody. And it's based on whole, real, processed foods, you know, kind of paleo template, not quite keto, but I hate putting labels on things. You know, at the end of the day, it's whole, real food, things that are going to nourish their bodies. And then, you know, we also work on things like mindset and sleep, and I give exercise ideas. And we've got this whole community where I support them when they have questions or need substitutions. There's a lot of people in the group that can't have certain foods that are on the menu, so I help them with substitutions and things. So when somebody comes, you know, into my group and they start, you know, consuming and getting everything that I provide to them, I always, you know, ask them, you know, for you right now, what is the biggest hurdle? What's the biggest thing that's kind of keeping you from getting where you want to go? And there's a lot of moms in the group. And for a lot of them, it's, you know, they don't have the time, which we just kind of talked about. But then also, you know, they feel like their family just won't eat healthy food. They don't even know where to begin because they think, you know, healthy food tastes like garbage. So, you know, it just comes down to what they're looking for. And, you know, if it means, you know, we need to just not talk about collagen peptides and adding mushroom coffee in and, you know, adding all of those things that we hear about and that, you know, we use and consume. And it's just truly focusing on, like, this week, let's just make healthy breakfasts for everybody and don't think about anything else. And then next week, we're going to make healthy breakfast and we're going to add in healthy lunch and then dinner. And, you know, just take it like step by step. That's really what I, you know, encourage people to do. You know, there's no one thing like, yep, everybody needs to have collagen peptides in their bulletproof coffee every single morning. You know, not everybody is going to enjoy reishi matcha tea. Not everybody needs to go out and spend lots of money on, you know, expensive fitness equipment or
biomass and constantly
or yoga gloves or,
I
think there's so much pressure to kind of, you know, we need it all or we need nothing. And a lot of the membership or a lot of the people that come into my membership have this mentality that if we can't do everything perfectly 100% of the time, then kind of why do it at all? Mm-hmm. So I want people to ditch the mindset that healthy living has to be all or nothing. It can be whatever you need it to be so that it fits into your lifestyle. And if that looks like, you know, for the gym, for instance, if that looks like going to the gym just 2 days a week instead of three, that's okay. And if that means, you know, going out and eating out for you on the weekends, because that's what you do socially, like that's okay too. However, you know, you can make healthy choices or healthier choices when you do those things. You don't have to be perfect to lead a healthy lifestyle. And in fact, you know, you shouldn't be. There's no perfect way to do things. And when you don't let yourself like flow and you try to control every single thing and try to force everything into perfection, you can really set up a huge trap for failure because we're human and we're not perfect. And that's what makes us perfect, you know? So some days you're going to feel like you have it all together and then other days you're going to feel like you're falling apart. But you need to be prepared for both. And even if that means letting go of like the reins and just letting things flow, then that's what you need to do. So everybody's got to make it work for them.
Yeah. And I think if somebody is, everything you said has just so much meaning and purpose behind it. And I think that if you feel like you're an intuitive person, kind of going with your gut instinct on what feels right for you in that moment, because there have been so many times in my life where I did something that maybe a textbook for autoimmunity may have told me, like, this probably isn't a good idea for you because you have autoimmune disease. And in my personal opinion, like, I was doing what felt right for me, and it worked, ended up working really well for me. So like an example of this would be intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting is something that, like, for autoimmune disease is typically not recommended. And drinking like butter coffee in the morning, I was doing it with tea because at the time I was doing the autoimmune protocol, but I planned ahead. I made sure that I was consuming enough calories in the eating window that I was, and I went from having every sign and symptom of PCOS to within a year not having any. Like, my doctor literally looked at my labs and was like, I can't believe this. I don't know what you did. And maybe it was AIP, maybe it was intermittent fasting, but for whatever reason, that felt right to me. And that's what I focused on at that point in my life. And I feel like if you feel like you're an intuitive person, if you feel like you can at least practice honing that ability, because I believe that every single person does have that ability. It's just, is our mind telling us to, like, turn off those thoughts, or to be that they're just being scared, or it's just you're seeing your favorite person on Instagram doing it, and so you feel like you should be doing it. And it's like, you really do have to kind of train yourself to understand, is this something I'm getting from an outside source? Is it something that I fear, or is it really my intuition telling me that this is what I need to be doing? And once you kind of get to that point, then using it to sort of tailor to yourself and your own individual needs, what you should and shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, for so many people, you know, there's all these, you know, there's a lot of wonderful, amazing products out there right now that are, you know, kind of easy to consume and, you know, make us healthier and make us feel better. But there's a lot of junk out there too, that is labeled as something that's good for us. And for so many people, and I mean, women is, I work with the majority women. I've got a couple guys in the membership, which is cool. We love the guys that are in there. But it's mostly women. And I feel like, you know, the ladies in particular can just feel so bombarded by all of this stuff. They feel like they need to be doing a little bit of all of it. And it's just so unnecessary. You know, like you said, like, you've got to just do what feels right for your body. You don't have to go buy that product because somebody said it's the best thing since, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say sliced bread because we don't eat bread, but, but, you know, it's just, it can be really hard for a lot of people to just see all that's out there. And a lot of this is driven by social media too, because, you know, we see these ads and somebody doing something, and, you know, we need to view our healthy living lifestyle as, you know, it's a journey. We don't need all of this stuff and all this noise. If we can just simplify a little bit and just treat our bodies with love and remind ourselves that, you know, what we do on a daily basis is about nourishment. And that can be a lot of things. That could be food. It could be exercise. It could be, you know, your soul, your faith, nourishment. But we need to be nourishing our bodies and not punishing it. You know, we're punishing ourselves by allowing ourselves to freeze up and not do anything because we feel overwhelmed. Like, when we can just kind of simplify down and realize, you know, what is it that I'm trying to do here? What are my goals? What are my values? How do I want to feel? How do I want to live my life? And how can I just take one step to get there without anything else, just naturally, intuitively? How can I do that? Then, gosh, I think, like, stress levels would just be so much better for so many people if we could just really simplify it like that.
Totally. And so I would love to hear a little bit more about, like, your coaching, your membership, kind of like where people can find you.
Yeah, totally. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Those are my only two platforms. I have no idea how to tweet, and I don't even feel bad saying that. I've never done it before. But yeah, so my website is upleveltruenutrition.com. And on my website, I have a blog, and I post recipes every single week. I post healthy living things. I have a bunch of free guides too that people can download. I I recently wrote one about how to get your kids to eat their vegetables. It's got all sorts of fun tips and tricks, and there's some recipes as well. But yeah, so my website's there, and I also have information about my membership on the website. And so the membership community is, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, it's a meal plan membership community where I create meal plans that are based on whole, real foods, nothing processed, and I deliver those to my members every single Friday. But then we also have this Facebook community that's a private closed group, and within that community is where I really support everybody and where we kind of come together as a community. I save and store all of my free guides in that community, so members always have access to those things. We have a live Facebook call every single week where I answer member questions live, but then it's just really an amazing place to be there for one another and have a community and a support system, because so many people, you know, try to start eating clean or changing lifestyle habits, but then they get so overwhelmed because they feel like they're doing it alone that it's so easy to like backslide and quit. They don't have that accountability. So the membership community really provides them with that accountability. And it's just, it's a place where they can go and not feel judged and ask any question that they have about health or wellness or fitness. And I'm there to answer it for them. And all of the other members are there to rally around each other as well. So it's a really, really amazing place. I love it. It brings me so much joy to see people having so much success by changing the way that they're eating and changing the way that they're living their lives and seeing such wonderful results. And it's really cool too. And they tell me stories about how, their kids are eating really healthy meals that they never thought they would have eaten. They would have just tossed in the trash before, but they're learning new ways to prepare foods like broccoli or cauliflower, whatever it is, roasting them instead of,
steaming it out of a bag.
Steaming them, exactly. And they're just tasteless and gross and soggy.
It is so gross.
Yeah, totally. Well, I didn't do that. Yeah, I didn't used to like that either. I would just force myself to do it. So it's a wonderful place for just that community and that support and that accountability to help people make these positive lifestyle changes so that they can just really thrive and become the, beautiful, wonderful human beings that they want to be. And so that kind of trickles down into the family as well, because I love seeing it positively impact spouses and children or mothers and fathers, brothers, sisters as well. I hear those stories and it just makes me so happy.
Love it. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for coming on today with us, because this was awesome. And I feel like this is going to help so many people, just because we always kind of like, oh, and that piece is important. But we dug into some really important stuff. So I'm excited. What we like to close on each week is the meal of the week. What is your meal of the week?
Oh gosh. So tonight, actually, this is for sure going to be my meal of the week, because we've got 4th of July coming up Wednesday and we're going to be heading out of town. So we really have like tonight and tomorrow night. Tuesday night's going to be nuts because we're going to be packing and trying to get out the door Wednesday. But we're making a turkey taco pie. And it's gluten-free and grain-free. I'm making a pie crust with almond flour and coconut flour. And we're doing an amazing filling that's basically like a taco filling. I mean, it's pretty much what the name implies. But with ground pasture-raised meat and a ton of fresh veggies, some peppers and some onions and some zucchini and all sorts of amazing herbs and spices. And we're going to toss that into the pie, throw a little bit of grass-fed shredded cheese on top and pop it in the oven, and then take it out of there and top it with a ton of guacamole and some, because who doesn't love guac? I love guac on everything. And some lettuce. And yeah, that's going to pretty much be our meal for the next like couple nights in a row, so that I don't have to cook before we go out of town.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, kind of inspired me for dinner.
All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on with us. And guys, all the links are in the show notes for where to find everybody. Please go check out Amanda's website and social media and all of that good stuff. And we will see the rest of you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.